Welcome to installment 158 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments relating to the sacrifices. Positive commandment number 60, to sacrifice an animal only if it is at least 8 days old. Prohibition 100, not to sacrifice an animal which was used as a prostitute's fee or an exchange for a dog. Prohibition 98, not to sacrifice leaven or honey on the altar. Positive commandment 62, to bring salt with every sacrifice. And prohibition 99, to omit salt from a sacrifice. Positive commandment number 60 is the commandment of bringing a sacrifice only after the animal is 8 days old. This commandment is derived from the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 27, which states, "V'hoye shivas yomim tachas imei," that the animal must be 7 days with its mother, "umyei mashmini v'hola," that only after the 8th day, from the 8th day on, "yerotze l'korban," will it be acceptable as a sacrifice. This commandment is repeated in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 29, "Shivas yomim yiyah im imai." The animal must be for 7 days with its mother. This commandment applies both to an individual's sacrifice or a sacrifice pertaining to the entire congregation. An animal before it has reached the age of 8 days is called mechuser zman begufei, that it personally has not filled out its proper time. There is another type of mechuser zman, an animal which is lacking time because its owner is lacking time. For example, the owner is in a state of impurity and must wait for a certain period of time before his sacrifice is acceptable. This is another type of sacrifice which could be invalidated because of a lack of proper timing. The Talmud tractate Chulin explains that one does not incur lashes for violating this prohibition, that since it is expressed in a positive form, that one must wait for 7 days, therefore, by bringing an animal in that time period, he is really transgressing a positive prohibition, and lashes are incurred only for violating a negative commandment. The Rambam explains one of the reasons given for this commandment, that since before the animal has reached the age of 8 days, it is considered to be underdeveloped. And an animal brought as a sacrifice must be a choice animal, must be fitting to be brought on the altar before God. Therefore, one must wait till the animal has reached this stage of development. Other books bring the explanation that the animal must live at least through one Shabbos, that the effect of having lived through the Sabbath day brings a certain holiness into the animal, and the animal must acquire this degree of holiness before it can properly be offered as a sacrifice. It is also explained in the Hasidic philosophy the significance of the number 8, as explained in the mitzvah of milah, that the bris milah, the circumcision, is on the 8th day, because 7 days is the normal scheme of creation. The world was created in 7 days, and many other things in the Torah and the world in general relate to the number 7. The number 8 represents something which is higher than the world, which is the actual effect of the sacrifice, to bring God's light, which is essentially higher than the world, down into the world through the offering of the sacrifice. Prohibition 100 also deals with a regulation as to what kind of animal may be sacrificed. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 19, states, "Leisavi esnan zena umechir kelev." One must not bring a prostitute's fee or the price of a dog to the temple of Hashem. The Esnan Zona referred to here is that in the case of a prostitute, if she was paid using an animal which could be brought as a sacrifice, that this animal becomes from that time on forbidden to be brought on the altar as a sacrifice. So too, the price of a dog refers to an animal which was exchanged for a dog. An animal which is kosher for a sacrifice, which was exchanged for a dog, becomes invalid to be used on the altar, as explained in the 6th chapter of the Talmudic tractate Tmura. The Rambam declares that this is like a blemished animal, that just as a blemished animal is invalid as a sacrifice, and the one who brings it gets lashed, So too, one who brings such an animal which was used for the price of a harlot or in exchange for a dog. The Rakanti declares that when the animal is brought as a sacrifice on the altar, it cries out, Esman Zainani, Mechir Kelvani, that I was used as a price for a harlot, or I was used in exchange for a dog. And since the owner of this animal wishes to bring the sacrifice as an atonement and to cleanse his sin and to completely remove any trace of the sin, this will prevent the sacrifice from having its effect, that since the animal itself is testifying as to its own source of impurity, it is improper and will not be an effective sacrifice. Prohibition number 98 deals with the prohibition of bringing leaven or honey on the altar. It states in the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 11, Ki chol se'er v'chol devash, that anything fermented, any leaven, or any honey, leisaktiru mimenu isha l'ashem, may not be offered on the altar as a sacrifice. This is repeated, says the Rambam, as the verse states, kol ha-mincha she-takrivu l'ashem, that any meal offering brought to God, leisayaseh-chametz, may not be brought of leaven. The Rambam explains that even though there appear to be two prohibitions, one for leaven and one for honey, nevertheless, it is considered one prohibition, as he explained in his ninth principle, used in determining the number of biblical prohibitions, that if it is a lav shebeklolis, a prohibition containing several details, only one commandment is counted. Therefore, if one brings a sacrifice containing even a minute amount of leaven, he gets lashes. So too, a minute amount of honey, he also would get lashes. And even if the sacrifice contained both leaven and honey, he would still get one set of lashes. The Ramban, Nachmanides, however, disputes this point and claims that they are considered to be two separate prohibitions, one for leaven and one for honey. Rabbeinu Bachai explains the hint of this behind this mitzvah, that both chametz, leaven and honey hint to the Yetzirah, to the evil inclination. And since the sacrifices and the altar are brought to counter the effects of the evil inclination, nothing which would refer or bring up a memory of the evil inclination can contribute to the sacrifice. The Chinuch points out further that both of them represent an idea of arrogance, of gaiva, that since the leaven is something which blows itself up, which raises itself up, this represents arrogance. And so too, honey boils in a very violent, in a very excessive manner. Therefore, both of these products, which refer to and hint to arrogance, are prohibited from being used on the altar. The last two commandments of today's portion relate to the accompaniment of salt on any sacrifice used on the altar. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 13, it is stated, "V'chol korban minchascha b'melach timlach." You must salt every meal offering. "V'leisash bis melach bris elokecha me'al minchascha." You must not leave out the salt of God's covenant from your meal offering. Al kol korban chatakriv melach. You must offer salt with any single sacrifice. The positive expression that you must offer salt is explained by the Rambam to mean a positive commandment. Number 62. As explained in the Sifra and Talmudic tractate Menachos, one is required to salt every sacrifice. Whether this applies, whether it is an animal sacrifice or a meal sacrifice. The prohibition leisashbis, one may not omit or leave out the salt from the sacrifice, is a prohibition. Number 99, that if one omits, if one leaves out the salt from the sacrifice, from the offering, one incurs the penalty of lashes, malchus, as explained in the 7th chapter of the Talmudic tractate Zvachim. The Medrash explains that on the day that the firmament was created, a division was made between the upper supernal waters, which became united with their creator, and the lower waters, the physical waters which we see. The Medrash says that the lower waters, the physical waters, began to cry. that they no longer merited being to be in a close relationship with God Himself and in an aspect of holiness. They actually went up to the sky and went up to the heavens and placed their claim before God Himself. And God answered them that since you wanted so much to cleave to holiness, I will reward you with being parts of commandments, that you, the water will be poured out on the altar every sukkos, in the water libation, and also you will attend every single sacrifice, that the salt, representing the ocean, will be brought together with every sacrifice. The Medrash further explains that another story relates to this commandment. The Medrash declares that the world is divided in general in three parts. One third is land which is capable of being developed for human habitation. Another third is desert, which is never capable of being a human habitat. And another third of water. The angel representing the water complained that you, the master of the universe, have given your Torah in the desert. Furthermore, the land, the inhabitable land, was represented and honored by having the temple being built upon it. However, the ocean was left out, that there is no particular commandment associated with us. And God Himself then promised the ocean that you will also be part of a commandment, that your salt will be brought on my altar as a sacrifice. Even though today we no longer have the sacrifices, nevertheless, this commandment is commemorated by our offering on our altar, on our table, when we eat a meal, when we break bread and say the bracha, the blessing hamaitzi, we dip the bread in salt. Since our table is an altar, the salt is brought together with our sacrifice. And our altar, our sanctified meal, is brought together with salt, commemorating these midrashim and this commandment itself. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.